Hello, this is Andy Morales, my brother Javier Morales, All Sports Tucson. This is a Patrick Liss football preview show, Tucson preview show, and we're in week 10, believe it or not, and that's because the smaller school started early. Normally week 10 would be the final week of the regular season for the bigger schools, but that the way the AA rolled it out, so it's a playoffs, you know, would just come in rhythm. We're in week 10, so 1A is already in the playoff situation. 2A is going to follow soon. But it's a big week. We have lots to talk about. We have two games on Thursday this week. 5A Southern match with Sunnyside, 4-3 at Casa Grande, 5-2. Sunnyside is trying to get into the top 16. The Open Division is going to have a lot to say about that. They're at 17, just on the edge, and also for a Keno match, probably the one that everyone talking about, Canyon Del Oro, 7-0 at Pueblo, 3-4, 30 Pueblo, this could hurt CDO. Point-wise, and then we have a slate on Friday. I don't believe, yeah, there's only one bye because that Gila region is uneven, and the 3A South is uneven too, so there's a bye there. Uneven teams, like 1-6, 1-7, something like that. So let's go to Thursday. Let's get the Sunnyside. Well, no, let's do CDO first because that'll explain the whole Open Division. And you wrote a story on CDO. They're ranked number 2 in 4A. They're number 3. They vaulted into number 3 in the Open Division. The only 4A school to do that in the last 2 years. It's not locked in yet. But that opens up a lot of worms, and do you want to touch upon that?
Well, I think the best case scenario for Dustin Peace and CDO is that there's still three games to play in the regular season, so they can use this as a source of pride to go that far up. But after this Thursday's game against Pueblo, because Pueblo is 30th among 4A teams, they're going to go down no matter what because of that for the ratings. On the other hand, Pueblo is going to shoot probably up to like the high 20s, even if they lose. So yeah. Pueblo is probably thinking, oh, even if we lose, we still might be still have a chance at the 4A playoffs, but they'll be 3-5. They'd have to win their last two games to even think about that. But I think CDO, they'll probably drop to like, I don't know, probably even close to 8 after playing Pueblo because of the power, and it's a 4A team. I think that factors into the power ratings now, the 4A teams playing each other and stuff like that. So I think this is the best thing for CDO because they're getting statewide notoriety that they're the number 3 team in the whole state among big schools, bigger schools. Mm-hmm. And then by the time it shakes down to they still play they play Pueblo, Walden Grove, and I believe Saguaro. And Saguaro's struggling mightily. So those two games against Pueblo and Saguaro are going to bring CDO's power ratings down. Walden Grove, not so much, although Walden Grove is number 11 right now in 4A. So I think that playing Saguaro and Pueblo will bring them out of the open division.
If CDO happens to lose to Pueblo or Saguaro, they're definitely out in the open division.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely out. I don't see them doing that, though. I think they want to go all the way. I think they want to run the table like they did in 2009. I think that's a goal they have. And I just think playing Saguaro and Pueblo with their low in the 30s ratings and 4A level, I think that's going to bring their power rating down. A big thing, and Dustin Peace messaged me yesterday about this, is they want to see what happens after this week because they're playing a 3-4 Pueblo team that's number 30. Let's see what happens to their power ratings. If they go down all the way to like number 8, they could stay up there after they play Walden Grove. And then they play – no, I'm mistaken. They play Walden Grove at the end of the year. So they play – Pueblo and Saguaro in the next 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. And after these 2 weeks, we'll see where the CDO's at. If they're like around 8 when they play Walden Grove, then they're probably going to be in the open division.
The thing about Road is. That's a passing team, and that's what UMA Catholic is. So that would be, there's, I don't think there's very many other 4A teams who pass a lot. So that would be it there, but it may be a moot point. The Catholic can be in the open division. They may not be in the same playoffs. But if Walden Grove catches CDO on their heels because they're passing, because they're, you know, they're used to stopping the run and power offenses, and you know, Walden Grove could pull that off, but Walden Grove might be in the top 10 by then. So
no, they'll play Micah Mountain next week, and that's going to get them in the top 10 no matter what. Even and if they beat Micah Mountain, then that's
so CDO could be looking at a harder road. CDO has to cheer for Micah Mountain to win out.
Yeah, and them to win out. Cause then it's like they'll beat the teams that they should, but they won't go up in the power ratings against Pueblo and Saguaro. And then they will beat Walden Grove to win the region title. So I think they're still going to not be able to make it because of the point system they changed that, I think, last year. And you get lesser points by beating 4A schools, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with the
multiplier. You get more points by beating a 5A and 6A.
Yeah, so I think these next 2 weeks, if they're still in the top eight after these next 2 weeks, they're going to be in the open division because Walden Grove will keep them up.
And Micah Mountain beat Sabino, and Sabino beat the number one team in 3A. So CDO had this strange perfect storm where they collected all those power points and it vaulted them. You know, if Sabino would have lost to ALA, whatever, West Foothills.
Yeah.
I think CDO is still in the open division, but probably 7. It's just a strange, no one knows the formula exactly. I think it's two opponents deep, although they deny it with like how your opponents do. But Micah Mountain beat Sabino. Sabino beat the number one team in 3A.
No, it was number three team. They were number three. Yeah, Sabino was 6 and ALA West Foothills was 3. Yeah. Cause
And Sabino beat Micah Mountain. So it was like a strange avalanche. And but that's the way the old system was. And the old system, it was straightforward. If you knew anything about math, you can figure it out. That's why they changed it. One of the reasons why they changed it. But Walden Grove is the wild card here. If Walden Grove beats Micah Mountain, that would just throw everything crazy. Because that could drop CDO a little bit. But then if CDO beats Micah Mountain, they're just right back in. CDO, I think it's a 90% chance in the open division because of that Micah Mountain.
Because Micah Mountain, yeah.
Micah Mountain, Walden Grove.
Well, the thing is, they do play Pueblo and Saguaro the next 2 weeks, and they're in the 30s in the power ratings. So if you figure they're going to drop, how many spots are going to drop?
It would be better if they'd be better if they played Walden Grove this week and then played those last two games at the end.
Yeah, so they're going to be right on the cusp of it if they don't, and then they probably would be number one in 4. Well, they probably won't be number one in 4A because UMA Catholic is like 5 points ahead of them right now in the 4A.
Yeah, I don't think UMA Catholic makes it all the way through. I think Micah Mountain wins the 4A state championship.
If CDO is in the open division.
CDO is not
And
then Sunnyside's playing in the 5A Southern. I forget what Casa Grande is ranked. I didn't put that in there. But
17. Oh, I'm sorry. No, they're 13.
So they're really 12. Or no, they're really 11.
Yeah. So they've been playing really well. So they're 13 right now. So they'd be 11 because there's two 5A teams in the open division rankings.
This is a playoff game for Sunnyside.
Yeah, and I talked to Thomas Romack at at Sunnyside, and this is basically the turning point. This is the game. He told me this is the game. This game means a lot to them. If they win this game, they play their next two games back in Tucson, and I think they're they're winnable games. I think they play Buena. Is that going to come to Sunnyside? Buena's ranked highly rated, and that's going to help Sunnyside's ranking. Yeah. But we saw with the Marana score that Buena's beatable at any week.
Buena's in the top five.
Yeah, so that's going to help Sunnyside's ratings that next week. But if they beat Casa Grande, they can beat Buena. They'll be 4-0 in the region and probably in the top 10 in the power pointings if they win those two games.
I think if they beat Casa Grande, they're most likely in the playoffs. They're in their own driver's seat.
Yeah, because they...
Who do they play the final week of the season?
Well, they play their final... I think it's Desert View, their rival. Now they play that rivalry game the last week.
Desert View could be a spoiler right there.
It's a rivalry game, and the cliche is anything can happen, but obviously Sunnyside's been having a better season than them this year so far. But it is at Desert View. So, yeah, anything can happen there. But going to that game, Sunnyside could be 6-3 and 4-0 in the region and probably in the top 10 in the 5A ratings. So I think if they win these next two games, they're in the playoffs regardless of what happens at Desert View game. But if they win out, they can host a first round game in the playoffs, which is amazing.
Yeah, they could launch them because Casa Grande and Buena are highly ranked. So those are the two Thursday games. We do have the Marana flag. If they're 11-0, they could go 12-0. It's their senior night, and they'll be hosting the first ever playoff game next Tuesday in flag football. Mountain View most likely is traveling. So it's pretty cool the two teams from the Tucson area in the playoffs the first year.
And dominant, right? Not only in the playoffs, but dominating, at least Marana, right?
Yeah, Marana pulled out a 7-6 win. But good teams do that.
Yeah.
They find a way to win at the end. And flag football, I think, is like 1A. It could be like a video game, or it could be a hard-fought game. And it's fun to watch. And then we go to Friday. Like I said, it's almost a full slate. Number 16 or number 11, Mountain Point, because there's a lot of 6-8 teams in the open division, at number 12 or number 7, South Point. So South Point has a lot to play for here. We're both going to be there. We're going to have a photographer there. And South Point wins this. They'll move up probably into a better position for hosting in the playoffs, but we all knew that this was going to be the most difficult part of their schedule was the end. And then with all the drama with the two players decommitting and I think Jed Fish is going to be there, possibly some other assistants, maybe a coach from another college is going to show up. So this is going to be probably the media circus game.
Yeah, and I've read on Twitter, like, it's going to be interesting to see what sideline Jed Fish stands on. If it's going to be Mountain Point or South Point, because Mountain Point has a couple guys, juniors, that Arizona's recruiting. They're pretty highly rated. Safety Ryland Dillard Allen and interior offensive lineman Caleb Jones. And Jones is also a defensive lineman. He's got, like, 6 sacks, too. So those guys from Mountain Point, Arizona's very much after. And of course the two South Point players, they decommitted, but I think there's probably more players they're looking at, maybe younger ones. I know Nathan Spivey's a junior at South Point. I think they should really be looking at him because he's just a great athlete, and you could tell just by looking at him on the field.
He had 3 interceptions against
Liberty. Liberty, yeah, he had 3 interceptions against Liberty. And that's indicative of what kind of athlete he is. I think we're going to be reading a lot about him next year, taking visits and all that, because he's a Division I talent. You can just look at him on the field. When you see him Friday, you look out on the field, you could tell what players really stand out, and he's one of them. He's only a junior, so I don't know. I don't know what the vibe is right now between Arizona and South Point. There's people making a lot of noise about that because of the players decommitting. And, I'm going to talk to Eric Rogers there and obviously the South Point people when we go visit. So it might be overblown. It might be something that people that aren't.
You have a problem with college, you know, media members and college writers and college websites, and all of a sudden, college fans. All of a sudden, you throw in a high school in the mix, and it's not that they don't know how to behave, but it's like foreign to them. They think it's the same. They think that treating a 17-year-old is the same as treating a 23 or 24-year-old, and it's really not. They don't know how to treat it differently. So, and when you attack a kid on the team and you celebrate that their team got blown out, well, there's 60 other kids on that team. And some of those kids will never play another down. Some of those kids don't even play now. They're on third string. So they're just not cognizant of the whole situation. And some of these players aren't making their own decisions. It's parents. It's recruiters and trainers. And
the NIL money. It's the NIL money. And it's there's a lot of outside influences now that weren't there even like 5 years ago.
But they need to take a step back and realize, hey, these are high school kids. This isn't a kid from Ole Miss transferring to U of A, or, you know, this is a high school kid, and he has teammates that have nothing to do with the situation. And you know, that was just the sad part of that. And there's a lot of people in Tucson that only watch college, and they don't care about high school unless it has to deal with U of A. And there's a lot of people in the NFL that watch the NFL. I didn't know this till this weekend. I think someone put out a stat that most people like the NFL don't watch college football, which is kind of crazy. But it's divided that way. There's high school, college, and NFL. And when they intermix, people just don't know how to handle that.
I can tell you right now that the majority of U of A fans did not know anything about local high school football. The majority of U of A fans did not know very much about local high school football, unless, like you said, they're getting recruited by Arizona. Then the name pops out. And the fact that they decommitted so close to each other, and there was a tweet by Elijah Rushing, probably written by his dad, you know, that just added fuel to the fire. And it's unfortunate, because recruiting is such a, it's an animal. People go wild over it. You can even just throw a name out there, like somebody's, you know, getting recruited by so and so, and they'll just eat it up. You know, it's amazing. It's kind of like coaching hires. People just like, they stop what they're doing, and they're going to read what coach are they going to hire?
Who's a candidate? First site.
Yeah,
your first site when I was writing for the Tucson Citizen, that the site before All Sports Tucson, that was about was Miller didn't get hired, right?
Yeah, that was about the time, and I did like a recruiting coaching candidates, and people were just flocking to the website, and it was crazy. So I think people, it's the unknown. People are so bent out of shape of the unknown, like. Is the player going to come to Arizona or not? Is the coach going to come to Arizona or not? Who are they going to hire? Who are they going to sign?
It's not just U of A fans. You see it.
Oh, it's everywhere. Yeah.
All across the country. When a player decommits from Michigan and you look at Twitter, and it's like, that kid's dead to them. It's crazy.
And on the flip side, I think some of the parents and families of the players are kind of oblivious to how wild this recruiting scenario is, in some of these websites and message boards. They don't know what that is all about. I guarantee you George Rushing knows now what that's all about. Whereas before, he probably just thought, oh, he's decommitting. He's just saying that he wants to go a different route for his development. And he thought, oh, it'll be okay. Cause he said Arizona's on the way up, on the rise still, but people are going to pick and choose what they want to read, what they want to look at. And they looked at the developmental part of that message, and that's what they hung on to. So,
I can't remember the name of the national writer or something. He said something about saying nothing is better than saying something if you're going to flip.
Yeah. So I think now they probably look at that and be like, we should have just said we're decommitting and looking at other possibilities. We're keeping our recruiting open.
Thank you, of A. Thanks, Southpoint. We're looking somewhere else.
Or not even that. Not even somewhere else. We're looking. We're just going to. We're opening the recruitment. That would leave open the door for Arizona still. You know, something where it's just like we want to look at all possible avenues, something like that. But they didn't, and it's probably because the family or George Rushing didn't know all about this recruiting, you know, craziness and how people react to it. Any single little thing, they're going to react. If it doesn't go their way, they're going to react to it. Like when he committed to Arizona, he got a lot of negative stuff from Oregon fans coming here. A lot of it. And now that he's opened his commitment, now the Oregon fans are like, come here, come here. It's like, it's almost like it's like they're zombies and they're reacting. Like they flock to the prey. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's crazy. It's wild. And the people that run these websites and do these message boards, they want that controversy. They want to, you know, pick fights on Twitter and get that kind of blood rushing. And I'm not all for that. I know what the game is, and I'm not going to play that game. So,
and if you don't cover college,
yeah,
by rule or NFL by rule, and you beat a recruiting site to a scoop, they go crazy.
Yeah.
And because that's supposed to be what they do. But if you're not in tune with the local kids here, you know, there's a chance you're going to miss out on a lot of stories. And I give what's his name credit. Who did Troy work with?
Matt Moreno?
He goes to high school games.
Yeah. In the LA area. He's back in California. But yeah, he does go.
You could see him at high school games.
Oh, I saw him at high school games, yeah. I see Troy at high school games.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, he's reading about them off a webpage or off a story, off a newspaper. He's actually going to watching. So, and that's what it takes. You can't go through your old career not watching BJ Robinson playing.
Right.
I mean, that's nuts. A lot of these websites never even saw BJ Robinson play.
Yeah.
With their eyes, high school.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen even a month from now, what the whole recruiting picture is going to be like. So, things change so quickly.
But back to the football part of it, South Point is realistically number 7 because there's 5 teams in the 6A in the open. So South Point, that's hosting right now. If South Point beats Mountain Point, they'll be pretty safe for a week, but it's going to be every week. It could change. You know, they're with the big boys now.
South Point's not assured a playoff spot. They're not assured being in the playoffs yet. If they lose a Mountain Point, Mountain Point's rated below them. If they lose to them, they could be on the. I know that there's a lot of 6A teams in the open division, but if they continue to slip, because now they're playing tougher teams now, whereas at the beginning of the year, the first 5 games they weren't. So
I know people want to make their schedule harder, but you have to win a couple of them.
Yeah, so they probably will get in, but they might go to, like, they might have to play on the road. They might slip out of the top 8. Right now they're number, what would they be, number 6?
7.
Yeah, so they're only one spot above hosting. So they got to be careful.
You don't want to be 8, because then you're on the top seated side of the playoffs. And then we go down to the 5A Southern, which is 5A Southern has one great team, and Sonoran has another great team, and the 5A Southern has Buena, which is 7 in 5A, but 5 after the teams are pulled out of the open division, and they're at number 27, Cienega. So this Buena just has to ignore you know, the ranking, they just have to keep winning. This is out of their control now because they're so dominant in the southern region, which I believe, Sunnyside might be the other playoff team, but
and that game's coming up next week. Playing at Sunnyside will probably determine the region. If Sunnyside beats Casa Grande, if Casa Grande wins, and it's going to come down to Buena and Casa Grande, because that game's at the end of the year at Buena. Desert View and Marana and Cienega, they're on the outside looking in.
Well, Marana 21, you know, they still have a shot.
They still have a shot. They'd have to win out.
For help.
Yeah, they do. Their last three games are against Desert View, Casa Grande, and Cienega, so that Casa Grande game will help them out with power ratings. The other two, not necessarily. So they might have to upset Casa Grande up there to really have a realistic shot. Losing at Sunnyside right after beating Buena 55-0, that was a huge, huge turn.
Huge for Marana, huge for Sunnyside.
I'm sorry, again?
Huge for both Marana and Sunnyside.
Whose feature is both Marana and Sunnyside?
No, huge for Marana in a negative, huge for Sunnyside in a positive.
Oh, yeah, because Sunnyside now is 2-0 in the region.
Yeah.
Beating Marana like that, holding them to a touchdown after they scored 55 against Buena. And they beat Cienega last week, holding Cienega to only 3 points. So their defense, they've only allowed 2 touchdowns the last 3 games. They've only allowed 15 points after giving up 35 to Micah Mountain. And I was at that Micah Mountain Sunnyside game, and Sunnyside was in that game until the late part of the second quarter. And then there was some blunders, like a snap over the punter's head, a block punt, and things just like crumbled. And without those two plays, you never know. It could have been close because Sunnyside could have got some momentum, confidence going. Micah Mountain won 35-7, so they're clearly the better team, but Sunnyside really self-destructed in that game.
You just can't help. Can't help. Like they don't need your help.
Right. So, but in the last 3 games, of course, they played Nogales is one of them. They're really struggling. But Marana and Cienega to hold those two teams to 9 points, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And you talk about one or two plays. If Sakylie Woodward doesn't block that extra point, Mike Mountain just has to kick the extra point to tie the game, and then they can go on and win it. I mean, that could decide who's going to be in the open, because Micah Mountain would be number 3 in the open division.
Yeah.
They might have been number 2 because they beat Sabina.
Like if the Sakylie Woodard plays, they total 3 points, right? Blocking the extra point, that's 1. And then the two sacking on this 2-point conversion, that was a point difference. They won by 2, and that amounted to 3. So he was like the, even though he didn't, you know, they run away from the better players. He didn't get a chance to get a lot of tackles in that, but he got a big sack. And that he was definitely the player of the game of that game, even though, it was 2 plays, but there were 2 huge plays.
Yeah, it may come back. It may be bittersweet. And then we go to the Sonora region where we have a great story of Ironwood Ridge, 6-1. They're really number 6, which is a great position to host the playoff game. But they're playing at number 45, Nogales, which is 0-7. So look for them to drop a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's Nogales is near the bottom, right, of the 5A ranked schools. So. And now you see who plays other teams now. So some of the teams that Ironwood Ridge has played, you got to look at how they're doing overall also. And, they've had a favorable schedule, to get to where they're at, but they're coming off a 1-9 season. So it doesn't really matter who they've played. To have this kind of year is huge. You know, they've beaten Empire, they've beaten Douglas, Saguaro, Flowing Wells, and Tucson, all teams that are that I think are near 500 or below 500, and they lost to Buena. So that I mean, they've had a schedule where they've taken advantage of it, and they've won with the games they're supposed to win. They're gonna, well, I mean, if they lose to Nogales, that'll be the upset of the year. So they should go to Nogales and win that game, and then they play at Maricopa next week. And Maricopa is coming off a loss at home to Tucson High, which Ironwood Ridge beat by 2 touchdowns at home. The big game, I think, at the end of the year is that Mountain View Ironwood Ridge game, because I think they're both going to be unbeaten going into that game. If the teams play like their records indicate, those two teams will be unbeaten in the region going in there.
That actually could be a huge game, because I know Mountain View wants to finish with a winning record, and they'll probably finish in the low 20s, which would be great after their start. And I think they have 7 torn ACLs or something like that on that team.
They're playing with basically three quarterbacks after their top two got season-ending injuries. So they intermixed like three different guys and they're running quarterbacks. They've only thrown like 2 passes the last two games.
So, running quarterback offense.
Yeah, so they're not fooling anybody, but they're running over people though. Nicholas Herox is one of the top running backs, and then they got Hogue as a their top running quarterback. He's kind of like Khalil Tate. Once he gets in the open, he runs away from people. He separates from defenders. So that's how they're winning games. And they play, and I know we're going to go over that later, but they play Maricopa at home Friday, and then they play at Tucson High and then at Ryan Ridge. So yeah, they're both heading into a game where they're going to be unbeaten. Tucson High might have something to say about that next week, but that's going to be a big game to watch in the last week.
Yeah, I don't think any of the Big Score regions will be decided till the final week.
Right.
But granted, there's no playoff berths attached, but it's still something to look at for these teams.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Tucson, 2-5, you know, they want to finish at least 500. They're going to be at Flowing Wells though, which is 1-6. But this is definitely a game Tucson has to win.
Yeah, they've been so close. Like I talked about last week, in the losses they've had, they lost by 2 touchdowns to Ironwood Ridge. They lost by a touchdown to Catalina Foothills. They lost by a touchdown to Buena. They lost by 4 points to Cienega after they were up by, I think, a couple touchdowns in the fourth quarter. They did get blown out by Moran at home, but they also blew out South Mountain. So they've been in almost every game except the Marana game. And then they beat Maricopa on the road last week. And then they play at Flowing Wells, which they can get some confidence going, because Flowing Wells is unfortunately struggling right now. Going into that Mountain View game, they can win their last two games and possibly play for a 500 season.
Yeah.
Because they end off with Nogales.
Yeah, then we go down to the 4A Keno region, which is a tougher one at the two, because you have 3 playoff teams. You have CDO, Mica Mountain, and Walden Grove. Mica Mountain is hosting Saguaro for homecoming. Saguaro's number 34. Mica Mountain might slip out of the top four because of it, but probably not. It'll be very close. Then they're coming off a big win at CDO. So, you know, Mike Mountain just has to keep winning there.
Yeah, and like you said, they have to look at who they've beaten and who they play to see how that will help them with the power ratings. Sabino plays at Morenci. That's not a gimme. So, mentioned before, they beat Sabino. So it's interesting how they have to look at how the teams they played also played. So
I mean, you have to root for your people you beat. Or lose.
Yeah. Right. So, but Mica Mountain playing at home, I know they lost Kaysen Colbert in the third quarter last week. And, you know, to Mica Mountain's credit, that didn't totally affect them, because they still went down and they were able to score, I believe, a field goal on
if
that possession.
Him from getting 100 yards rushing.
But, right.
I don't think that CDO ran in his area.
Right.
So I don't think Luke and Colbert met Field at all.
I think they met a couple. I know Colbert tackled, was in on tackles of Luke.
Was on a group tackle, yeah. Right?
Yeah, he was on on tackles of that. And there could have been a case where Luke was, because Luke played, he was back playing linebacker in this game. So I think that happened too, where he was on in on plays against Colbert. But with Colbert out, I believe that's when CDO was able to get that touchdown drive going, and they had the big third down play. But then Micah Mountain came back and scored a touchdown on CDO. So even after that, and Colbert's a big piece of their offense with the way he runs the ball. It's just Jaden Thorson took over.
He was unfazed.
Yeah.
He's been that way since he was a freshman. Cause I think as a freshman, he really didn't know that he was supposed to be a freshman.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he just drove them down at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was like no opposition to it.
Yeah. I would suspect that Saguaro's struggling right now. I mean, it's like what Deion Sanders tells people, like, you better get me now. Yeah. Where you have the chance, because I think with Al Alexander and Dennis Binet and those guys, I think that program's going to be a lot better than what it is right now. This is only his second year.
Looking at the numbers, I think Saguaro's safely a 4A team.
Yeah.
But as some of those TUSD schools keep losing and dropping in enrollment, 3A's, some of them might be a 3A in a couple of years. That's going to be interesting. And you might see a in school like Tankerberde pop up to 4A, which would be bad for them, or 3A.
Right. With Saguaro, they lost those 13 starters in that game against Highland Ridge, and I don't think they fully recovered, even though some of those starters are back. I think they were on a roll. They had won two in a row when that happened, and that just derailed them in their season. And
yeah, it's hard to be started. And then you have Walden Grove, which is 11-10.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bad position to play house, but I'm sure they want to be like six or seven. And they're at Canley and Foothills. Sadly, Foothills, number 20, this is a playoff game for Canley and Foothills.
Yeah, and again, if they lose, they're going to probably move up a little bit. They moved up. We talked about this last week. They moved up, I think, three spots, even though they got blown out by CDO. The week before. So they're probably going to move up a little bit or not move down, even if they lose. So that, with 2 weeks left, and they've already played Walden Grove and CDO.
If they beat Walden Grove, they're in the top 16.
Yeah, if they upset Walden Grove, then they're in the playoffs. They're up in the top 16. Even if they lose, I think they won't fall, or they might even actually go to 19 or something like that. And then they play... Next week they play Micah Mountain, correct? If I'm not mistaken, Walden Grove plays Micah Mountain. I think Catalina Foothills has played. Have they played both CDO? I know they played CDO. Have they already played Micah Mountain also, or is that game still to be?
Sure, they had UMass Catholic on the ropes, but they couldn't score. They had Push Ridge on the ropes, but couldn't score. It's a very interesting. Let me just check their.
Oh, they play. They play Micah Mountain the last game of the season at home. So they end off with Walden Grove and Catalina Foothills. So, I mean, Micah Mountain ends up with Walden Grove and Catalina Foothills.
Yeah, and then we have the Gila region, which has seven teams in it, right? So Douglas has a bye. But then the highest ranked team in there is Amphi. They were in a playoff position, but no longer. So this is all for region. These teams are all for region standing. Amphi, Rio Rico wants to have a winning season. Both teams do. So if Amphi wins, they're guaranteed a winning season. That Rio Rico, this could be a new rivalry right there.
Yeah, well, the Amphi is 3-1, and they're playing for a region title. Let's face it, none of the teams are playing for a playoff spot. There's four teams with one losses. Amphi is 3-1, Douglas is 3-1, Rio Rico is 2-1, and Empire is 2-1. So Amphi plays Rio Rico this week, 3-1 versus 2-1. Douglas is as a bye, and Empire plays Choya at Choya, which, you know, Choya is struggling, unfortunately. So it could be a case where you have still have three teams with one loss after this week with 2 weeks left.
And a lot of them, which is great, are playing for winning records.
Yeah.
I think the only one that can't is Sarita at this point, 1-6. But the real Rico, you have Mendivi versus Gurren, so you can't get any more long-time coaching legend game than that right now this week, I believe, right? Are those the two longest?
Well, yeah, he Mendivi's in his 22nd year, and Skurin's in his 39th year as a high school coach. And they've Skurin, I don't have the exact win totals in front of me right now, but I know Skurin has well over 300. And
I don't want to say old man because I think I'm older than Mendivi, but not older than Skurin. But this is the old man coaching game of the week. The legends. Yeah, it has to be, right. I'm looking down.
Well,
I
have the Skurin has 317 wins in his 39th year as a high school head coach. Of course, he coached at college and he coached pros like overseas. And then, Mendivi's the number four coach in Southern Arizona with 119 wins in his 22nd year.
Yeah, so, he coached at Sam and Will when they were a 3A school.
And he coached them to a lot of good records. And I think they won a region title this year. The last time they won it was in 2002 when he was a head coach at the 2A level. And then they were good before that in the 3A level when Warner Smith was there, before Mendivi was there.
And then he went to Empire and he brought them into he was supposed to guide them in a 5A, but he got a job at Amphi. Yeah, so he turned Amphi around after Faithy left.
He was an assistant coach at Flowing Walls under Pat Nugent, because Dustin Peace was saying that he was coached by Nugent and Mendivi at Flowing Walls. And then it was at Flowing Walls, I think, where Warner Smith told Mendivi that he should be the head coach at San Manuel, and that's when he went there. Because I think Warner Smith was, I think he was coaching or he was around the Flowing Wells program, and he kind of told him that, hey, you should go coach at San Manuel. And he did, and that's where he started his career. Then he went to Empire when Empire opened, made them a good program. And Amphi is going to be good this year, and they're going to be good next year because they have a lot of good young guys that are going to be around back. I did see that Jacob Espinosa, he's been out the last two games, so I don't know if he has a season-ending injury or just temporary, but he's been out the last two games. They were able to win last week playing Rincon University, but they lost 2 weeks ago at Empire with him out for the first time. And otherwise, they could be undefeated in the region and possibly an outside chance of making the state playoffs, but now it's going to be tough.
Yeah. And then you think on they could finish 500. First step is Rita. That'd be 3-5. And then 3-5 is that's a great spot for Rincon. You know, typically they're stuck at 2, if I'm mistaken. So, you know, they were a team on the rise under Strack. And I believe that, you know, It's a weird situation because it's mostly girls at the school. They probably should be 3A. I can't believe they were playing 6A and 5A. That was crazy. But
but the thing is, 3A is so difficult. Excuse me. To go to a 3A, it's almost like a step up from the 4A Gila. No offense to the 4A Gila teams, but you're playing Thatcher, Safford, Push Ridge, Sabino, Morenci, that's a lot. Yeah. That's tougher than the 4A Gila. I don't think there's any question.
In the state, the 3A is the most difficult.
Yeah. So, and you look at 2A, there's Rincon University should be at 2A, but then you see Palo Verde and Catalina, they're struggling at 2A mightily. Yeah, it's not even close.
Bisbee, Wilcox, Santa Maria, you know. And then the 3A South, Sabino, boom, backed up to number four at 6-2 and at Morenci. Just lots of landmines right there for Sabino.
Yeah, it's a road game. They did go to Safford and won pretty handily. And Safford was playing well. Then they got blown out by Thatcher last week. So it's been weird. Like, so teams rise up and then they go down. Like, Sabino was looked like he could have bounced back after that Micah Mountain game, and then they lose at home at Thatcher. And Thatcher was struggling around the year. Of course, they had a tough road schedule. They're struggling with a losing record. Now they're on the way up. I think they're unbeaten in the region. So now we got Morenci, who was on a 3-game losing streak, went to Push Ridge and beat Push Ridge. And then they won easily last week in a non-region game. But
yeah, Richard, I talked to Richard after the game. He coached Eloy Santa Cruz to a 2A stop. And then he told me he had heard 3A was tough, but being a 3A now, he realized that it's very, very difficult.
I mean, look at Push Ridge. It's 0-2 in the 3A South. They're in last place in the 3A South at 0-2.
Yeah. But you can't. He said you can't take a week off in 3A. Yeah, no. Prepare your game because there are no Choyas. There are no, you know, Coolidges. Every week is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, Push Ridge is 0-2 in the 3A South, and they're number 8 in the state rated in 3A. They would be playing a home game the first round if it ended the season end today. That's how tough. I'm sorry.
And I've got Laurier that game.
I'm sorry, you cut out.
They're playing Thatcher at home.
They're playing Thatcher at home. We're gonna have Laurie and Lexi. Lexi's gonna be taking photos. Laurie's gonna be covering it. Thatcher's 2-0, and Push Ridge is 0-2, but. No, I mean, who? Nobody would be surprised if Push Ridge beats Thatcher, the last place team beats the first place team.
And theoretically, you know, Push Ridge is like having the game of the week at their place every week because that's the 3A.
Yeah, because they played Morenci 2 weeks ago, and then they went to Coolidge last week and won. And now they're playing Thatcher. They played County and Foothills early in the year. And then the end year at Safford, I mean, they could win these last two games and be right in the thick of the conference or the region because the winner could have two losses.
All five of the teams that are at Southern Arizona, Eastern Arizona are in the playoffs if it ended right now.
Yes, they would be. And I think it's going to end that way too because they continue to play each other. They're not going to go down where other teams might be playing lower rated teams in their region and going down.
And then Matt Capworth is trying to be the second quarterback to reach 8,000 yards. And he has a shot. He probably would have to play three playoff games. And then you found some other 5,000-yard passers to add to our list. Well, you found one more, Valdez, right?
Let me see. Yeah, because I remember Bobby Valdez because he was there at Sunnyside when I was a senior. He was a junior, and he passed for 5,700 yards in his career. And at that time, I think that was a record because that was 86, and he had 5,700 yards. And then the following 2 years after that, Adam Rodriguez beat him for the city record. Yeah, so right now Cameron Hackworth's at 7,300 passing yards, which is only 250 about below Andrew Cota, who played at Sunnyside and South Point for number 3. So he could pass him, and then he could actually pass Trenton Bourget for number 2 in this game against Morenci, because he's only 311 away from Bourget, and 311 is kind of like an average game for Hackworth these days. So he could be number 2 by the end of Friday night. He could be number 2 overall in career passing behind Rhett Rodriguez. And Gabriel Smith broke the Walden Grove record in both passing yards and touchdowns because he has now 56 career touchdowns, and Alex Lopez had 55. And Cameron Hackworth has 83 career touchdown passes. The Southern Arizona leader is Trenton Bourget with 86. So he could pass him on Friday as well if he throws at least three or four touchdowns. Three, he'll tie him. Four, he'll pass him. So that's something to keep an eye on also.
With several games left.
Yeah, he's definitely – Cameron Hackworth could – if they go all the way to the state championship game, he could reach 100 career TD passes. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt because that he's 17 away, and that would be – they still have to play two games in the regular season plus another three. That's five games. And he throws about two to three touchdown passes a game, sometimes more. So he couldn't reach 100
The points, because he's throwing touchdowns and 2-point conversions.
Right.
So it's like Bijan's senior year, he was breaking like 20 areas. So, and then you have to look at all the receivers because obviously they're catching these, yards and points. And I think Seth at the AA, he tries to keep up, but we found some crazy things that it's easy to miss all these, but there's so many areas, so many categories.
Right.
You probably need the Life Sports Bureau to keep track.
Yeah, it's almost like they need AI needs to hire somebody who's just like a Barry Sullenberger type who just does all these numbers.
Yeah, and then we get to the San Pedro region or the Bolnau region, I guess. Number 8 Tank of Brittany at number 17 Glendale Prep. We're going to try to get Brittany out there. She's trying to see if she can make it. She does have like me and like Javier and I. We have jobs, so she told me she's hoping she can go to that game. But Tank already went this game, they're just going to be in a great position. They need to host a playoff game, and it's not a region game.
No, it's a game that made up when Santa Rita had to cancel their season.
And it's such great luck that they're playing a good team.
Yeah, they won't be hurt even if they lose. They won't be hurt too much. I think they want to prove that they can win a game like this on the road. Knowing Jeff Bolnau, he's probably telling them this is like a playoff game. We're going up. We're leaving Tucson. We're going up to the Phoenix area. This is like a playoff game, so we have to treat it like that as preparation. And I think they'll be ready. Their defense is amazing. Tankerville's defense. They Bryson Meyer, the Bisbee running back, had 300 plus yards rushing against Palo Verde the previous week. He had 20 against Tanca Verde last week. And Sebastian Lopez, the Bisbee quarterback, had less than 100 yards passing, and he's one of the passing leaders in Southern Arizona. Matter of fact, he's probably the best all-around athlete in Southern Arizona because he's got Sebastian Lopez, and we'll talk about Bisbee plays Tombstone in a big game. And Sebastian Lopez, the Bisbee quarterback, he has more than 1,000 yards passing. He has more than 1,000 yards rushing, and he has almost 100 tackles. I don't know if has there ever been a athlete that's done that. I mean, that's something to ask the AIA maybe, because he's right. He's about 20 tackles away from or less from 100 tackles.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And then you have the three other teams vying for a playoff spot. You have Tombstone at Bisbee, and then Benson is probably out of the playoffs, but Wilcox is not. They're on the cusp. Those are just two more big games right there.
I think the winners of those games are still have a good chance, and the losers are going to be like, because they only have, one more week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough for them to get in, especially Benson. They're number 24. They have to beat Wilcox to even have a chance. Even then, it's going to be tough because Wilcox is number 18.
Yeah.
So Wilcox needs to win, obviously. All those teams need to win. Tombstone has lost close games against Wilcox and Tanca Verde. Actually, they got blown out by Tanca Verde, but they lost at home to Wilcox. So now they're going to Bisbee in a kind of a rivalry game there. And that's going to be a big game there. That'll be one to watch. Bisbee's trying to come off that loss last week against Tanca Verde. So two really good games there. And then you got Catalina at Palo Verde. That's going to be a game of like.
Well, Catalina, if they finish 5-5, that's just a great season for that coach and that program.
Well, they'll have, if they beat Palo Verde, they're number 34 and Palo Verde's number 40. They'll have 4 wins. That is, to me, that's crazy because we know that they're used to like 0-10 and 1-9 seasons.
Yeah.
So, that's almost like a mini little playoff game for those two teams because they probably feel like they can beat each other and they want to have some confidence, build some confidence between them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that comes out. I think the last time Catalina won 4 games, actually it was not too long ago, 2017 under Joe Butler, they went 5-5. Yeah. But it's very rare. I think the year before that, or the time before that, they won at least 4 games was in 2012. And then they had some good teams like in the 2000s because it's Sean Wasson coaching there. But it's been pretty bleak there the last 8 years or so.
And then we had the 1A's in the first round Friday. The San Manuel hosting really threw the referees for a loop because there aren't enough referees, which caused the CDO Pro Bowl game to be moved to Thursday.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
And then I thought it was interesting that they had to do it. Like, it was almost like they flipped the coin to see which game is going to be affected in Tucson on Friday. They did it by random.
They already had referees assigned, and they were waiting for the brackets to come out too. To see if Samuel, because Samuel got blown out by Babo. And it was a question whether Samuel would finish 9 or 8. But if St. David was 8, then obviously there'd be they'd be hosting. But, you know, the winner of Samuel St. David has to play number 1 Hayden. So that's not a good consolation prize right there. But Babo, if Babo beats number 7 Mojave, they're in a good spot in the second round. And then Babo beating San Manuel, Babo Cavari, helped Valley Union. Valley Union took the last spot.
Yeah.
And they're playing at number 5 El Capitan. So this is like a glory year. There are 4 teams: San Manuel, St. David, Babo, and Valley Union in the playoffs.
1/3 of the field of the turn of the whole playoffs.
Yeah.
And if Babo Cavari wins, that'll be their first playoff win in school history since 1969 when they started. They've lost the 2 playoff games they played in 2000 and 2001. So how big is that if they go to Mojave Accelerated?
Accelerated.
And they win that game. First playoff win in school history, and the school had their first football team in 1969. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's like front page stuff. And they could do it with that Xavier Meese. The guy, they finally posted their stats, Babo Cavari, after the whole year. And he's one of the top quarterbacks in Southern Arizona, especially at the 1A level. He's got 1,164 passing yards. And he's got almost 1,000 rushing yards, 966. When you have a guy like that at that level who can really dictate things, they have a chance to beat Mojave Accelerated. He's a great athlete too. I think he could play. If he was on a team in Tucson, he would be productive. He's a great athlete. I don't know if you've seen him. I saw him during the preseason and he looks like a legitimate athlete. So he comes from an athletic family. He actually has a younger brother who has 5 interceptions. So that Meese mm-hmm. name continues at Babo Cavari because their dad was a really good player at Babo Cavari like 15 years ago or 20 years ago. And then their grandfather has been a longtime coach at Babo Cavari with the girls basketball program. And he knows you pretty well because every time I see him, he says to say hi to your brother. So,
yeah, I've known him for 16 years. He's one of the few teachers that actually stay there.
Yeah.
And I think he's made a life there. And it's not a bad – Sells is a great little town. And when people don't know that there's a Bashes there,
and one of the most highest selling grocery stores in Arizona. And the reason there's a Bash's there is because Eddie Bash, our father, our dad called Eddie Bash and said, hey, there's this town here that they don't have a grocery store. So Eddie Bash took a chance, and it's just a great area. And some people tell me, since Odom doesn't play sports anymore, that maybe some of those kids are helping Babbo. So, that could be another influence there. But, and that's just like 10 more miles down the road. If you ever go to Ajo, or to Rocky Point, be it out there.
Yeah.
But these are all just great stories here. Valley Union, way down in Alfreda.
And they were 0-8 in 2019 and like 1-7 in recent years. They went from a really bad program to now a 5-3 going in the playoffs program, which is amazing.
These are all farmer kids.
Yeah. So it's amazing how they're doing. St. David's, I think they've had kind of a down year. They're usually like a high prolific passing team, but they haven't relied on the pass this year. They've been trying to run the ball a lot more. So I think that's hurt their offense hasn't been as productive. That's why they're 5-4. They got blown out by Hayden. In a game like that, they're usually competitive in, especially at home, and they lost like 54-0. And they have to go to San Manuel. They have to go back to San Manuel, where they lost 16-14 in overtime 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so I think David could win this, but like I said, then they have to play Hayden.
Yeah, it's like if we win this, we have to play Hayden again at their place. We have to drive all the way up to Hayden, a team we just lost 54-0 to. So where's the mindset there? I'm sure Braden Davis.
The 9-8 spot isn't good in any.
Right.
Any. It's not good in the NCAA tournament. It's not good anywhere.
Yeah, that's a tough second round game.
And then flag football, as we talked, their first round is Tuesday, and then next Friday, South Point at Saguaro, Iron Ridge and Maricopa. Let's see, Buena at Sunnyside, Rennick at the Grand. Walden Grove and Mike Mountain's going to be a huge game. These are all big game schools. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that we don't think those are big games. Marenti at Thatcher, Push Ridge at Safford, Tankerville at Benson. And obviously that second round 1-8, but there's a lot of big games next week.
Yeah, it's that time. Well, we only have 3 more weeks left in the regular season with the bigger schools. 1A is already in the playoffs. I think some 2A teams and some 3A teams only have one game left, or one or two games left. So we're now at the very end, which is kind of crazy how fast the season has gone by. Because the playoffs will be here. We'll be talking about playoffs in about 3 weeks, which is crazy.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, you're going to be at...
We're going to be at Cell Point, the Mountain Point at Cell Point game on Friday night. Tomorrow night on Thursday night, I'll be at the Pueblo CDO game at Pueblo. And Stephanie Van Leighton will be there taking photos. And then Friday, I'll be at the Cell Point Mountain Point game with you. And Gilbert Alcaraz will be there.
You're going to be in the newspaper again for the East Valley Tribune.
Yeah. So
have you ever written for them? Has any of your stuff ever been?
Yeah. I did freelance for them not too long ago with the high school game when Lee Chappelle was working there.
Yeah.
I did a story on a high school game locally. The Push Ridge game, Push Ridge Thatcher, which is a huge game. That's going to be with Lori Burkhardt and Lexi Fagan. Kevin's going to be at the Mountain View game. They're playing. Who is Mountain View playing again? Sorry, he's going to go to that game, the Miranda Mountain View game.
They're playing Maricopa.
He's going to go to that game, and DeAndre Davis will be at the Micah Mountain game. Saguaro Micah Mountain. Taking photos and tweeting about it. So
yeah, he lives out in the Vail area. So yeah, big week. Tomorrow night I'm going to be at Marana for the their senior night. I'm going to be presenting the Battle of the Saddle. It's because they beat Mountain View. And geez, man, and then the playoffs for everything else starts. Golf, boys. I posted the story. We already have 10 region champions throughout all the sports so far. Football is going to be the most difficult because football and volleyball, those things won't go down to the last game, which is that's exciting for these high schools.
Yeah.
They're not decided 3 weeks before the season's over.
Right. Another, the playoff time, I know you cover a lot of the golf tournaments and swimming meets are coming to the end. And then with that, the winter sports are coming up. I know high schools are doing tryouts right now for basketball teams. So
basketball, wrestling, and soccer.
Yeah,
winter soccer.
So we're at that threshold because of the end of the October is when it really starts up with that, with practice.
And then the refs. I forgot to tell you this for basketball. They wanted me to get the word out. It's going to be girls. College basketball rules. There's no more 1-1 in high school basketball. You get 5 fouls per quarter. After the 5th foul, you shoot 2 free throws. They don't, they're trying to lessen the free throw impact in the injuries. And so after the 5th foul, on the 5th foul, you get 2 free throws.
Not 1.
5 fouls per quarter.
So it's automatic bonus. It's automatic bonus when you reach the 5th foul.
Yeah, they're basically going to follow. I think everyone liked how it worked in the women's basketball game in college. It kept the game moving. There were less people trying to cross the board after that first free throw. And 5 fouls a quarter is hard to get. So that's going to be one. That's going to be the biggest change, and it's going to probably cause a lot of problems with parents. It's one of those things where parents grew up thinking in a different way, like the pass interference is usually a first down, but not in high school for football. That drives parents crazy. So the 1-1 is probably going to be hard for people to understand, but that's going to be the new.
Wow, that's interesting. That kind of that affects some of the strategies involved with trying to foul people to get them the foul line. They're still going to be fouling to get them the foul line to stop the clock and all that. But now they know that they might have to sacrifice a point or two because it's not 1-1.
Yeah, but you have to get 5 per quarter, which is hard.
Well, I mean, it's what, 10-minute quarters? Or no, for high school, it's 12. It's 12-minute quarters in high school?
I believe.
No, it can't be because it's 20-minute halves in college.
Yeah, eight.
Yeah. So eight minutes to get 5 fouls. That's probably going to happen in the fourth quarter, mostly when the game's in doubt and they're trying to get people to the foul line to stop the clock. So I could see that happening, but instead of a 1-1, it's a 2-shot foul. Which affects strategy to a degree. Are you going to foul a good free throw shooter and send him to the line for 2 points?
Or are you going to foul someone out trying to get that fifth foul?
Right. So it's interesting, and you're right. It will prevent or lessen potential injuries with people fouling and going after rebounds on the first try and all that kind of stuff. So, but. They still will do it on the second try, so I can see their point in doing it is to make the game more fluid and not have as many fouls.
That's going to be nationwide, I understand.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a week 10. Hard to believe. Petrie Wiz football preview show. And help us out with the scores on our Facebook page. And some of these schools take forever to post the scores, especially if they lose in their home. So, and not just Tucson schools, usually the Phoenix schools too.
Right.
But Andy Morales, my brother Javier Morales for All Sports Tucson, and we'll see you on the field.
All right. Thank you.